Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Hey, welcome back to the Every Day is Saturday show. My name's Sam Crowley, host of the show. We love our listeners. It is an awesome day. Every day is Saturday. We got a unique show today because I'm actually doing an interview. I very rarely, although we may go to a new format coming up in this new year. You guys know me, listen to the show long enough. I'm a loose cannon, so it might go a lot of different ways. But I bring every now and again, I think there's some value to bring into the community. We go out, we find a fellow entrepreneur, somebody that's a little crazy, somebody that thinks abnormal stands for above normal. So I went searching high and low, north and south, east and west, and came up with the one and only Gabe Strom. I will give Gabe a formal introduction in just a little bit, but Gabe, welcome to the Everyday Saturday Show today.
I love it, man. Good to be here. That might be the best intro I've heard in all month, I'll say. That's Gabe the stuff.
Yeah, Gabe, I brought you into the Everyday Saturday community because you're a fun guy, man. Gabe and I, let me just 100% transparency, want to make sure. Gabe and I go back a little ways. A few years ago, we met on an interview on Skype, actually. Bill and a business partner, we were all chatting it up. Gabe and his business partner, Bill, we were all chatting it up. And then Gabe and I stayed in touch. He's done a lot of things. He was a corporate slave just like I was. And he's also an entrepreneur online. We're going to talk about what he does. He's got a podcast as well I want you guys to plug into. And actually, that's probably not a bad place to start, Gabe. But I want to let everybody know, I know Gabe. So this isn't like, I don't want to let you down, dude, but I'm not sitting at a desk with a tie on focused on our interview like I'm Larry King. Is that cool?
Yeah, well, I wasn't expecting that from you, Sam.
But Gabe has a show. It's Rich and Awake. And Gabe, I want you to let's just dive right in because we got about 30 minutes or so. And I want to dive in. It's a pretty cool topic, Rich and Awake. A couple things that most people should always be, Rich and Awake. But give us an idea. Where are you coming from with that? I mean, what's the brand? What's the movement that you want to create online and offline? I mean, anywhere. What's the movement you want to create with that?
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, the vision from the beginning has always been to inspire millions of entrepreneurs to find their purpose and to get rich doing what they love. And, I went back and forth on the name of the show a lot. It was one of the things that held me back, that perfectionist wanted to, like, make everything perfect when we were launching it. But the vision was just to inspire people and remind them that they're already rich, whether it's spiritually, financially, emotionally, with your relationships. There's all areas of life, our health and wealth, that, a lot of times as entrepreneurs, we focus just on money or just on relationships. And so the inspiration for the show is just how can we inspire people to, live more abundantly in all these areas and wake up to the fact that if you live in North America, specifically in the U.S., you're already wealthier than 90% of the world, depending on what your average salary is. And I think especially here in the U.S., there's this like spirit of wanting more and more and more, and it never makes you happy. I mean, you experienced this, I know, from going through and, the corporate rat race as well. And so, hey, the mission when the vision was just to help people find more meaning in their life doing what they love.
And so, give us a little bit of background with what you've been doing, Gabe, because when we first started connecting online, you were doing a lot in the social media realm. You're a big blogger, YouTube guy, Facebook guy. I mean, where's your grounding as far as marketing is concerned when you're going to help people discover this as far as being rich, being awake, which I agree with, man. We're already, we already got it made being where we live right now. But give us a sense of background. What's your experience in marketing and things like that you're going to bring to the table to help these people?
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, Cliff Notes version is I want to be an entrepreneur young. I was, even before leaving high school, that's what I knew. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to create wealth. And so I started studying wealthy people. And this was 12 plus years ago. And I started a painting business when I was in college and knocked on doors during my spring break when everyone, all my friends were down in, you know, wherever, having fun doing what fraternity guys do on spring break. And, you know, I was just hustling at a young age. So I went, I became aware at a very young age, though, Sam, that I read a book, probably one of the most influential books of my business career, called The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. And he talks about building systems versus the 90% of businesses that fail, which are people focused. And I basically had this mindset back then of just doing whatever it takes, like relentless. I was just trying every different business model. And so I spent early part of my career, make a long story short, I spent a lot of time in direct sales and got involved in several direct sales companies, probably 6 or 7, failed at all of them, maxed out all 3 credit cards in college, and just made some really stupid decisions, and you know, made no money my first several years as an entrepreneur, aside from a little bit with the painting business. And I'll never forget it. I was up late one night watching a YouTube video or something online, and I had this experience. This was back in 2007. I was in a direct sales company, and I was doing all old school lead gen stuff. Like, this is like Craigslist, calling resumes, just going to hotel meetings, like the worst of the worst of, you know, like, none of my friends and family wanted to hear from me. Like, you know, I was like black sheep of the family, and I hated it. I hated that way of marketing. But I found a video that a guy put online, and found a book. It was a guy named Mike Dillard. He wrote a book called Magnetic Sponsoring, and I bought it for $37. And I sat back in my chair, you know, middle of the night by myself in the living room of the kitchen table, which was my office at the time. And it just dawned on me, like, I never met this guy. He never had to talk to me, never had to prospect me. And because of a piece of information, a video and a sales letter, I was compelled to send him $37 to Texas, you know? And it just, it opened up my eyes to this world of direct response marketing, internet marketing. And then fast forward, I ended up launching our first information product shortly after that later that year. We had our first $70,000 year selling information products. And then that following year, I partnered up with some clients of mine and friends of mine, and we created a blogging system that ended up being a multiple six-figure business model revenue that I ended up selling, moving back to Chicago and got married. And with a series of events, the business didn't go as planned, so I was basically had to start over from scratch again. And that's when I went back to the corporate race, as you put, the corporate slave years, and spent 2 years, which wasn't too bad of a career, but 2 years doing local internet marketing advertising, basically learning pay-per-click and digital marketing on a, you know, corporate bigger level. And then through affiliate marketing and selling information products, I was able to double my salary and walk away from that. And you know, and here we are in the beginning of the year, and that's the story. So
what do you think, as far as, because you're a young kid, man, you're like, I got many years on you so far. So, you know, when you talk about having to spend a couple years in a job, I'm sitting here laughing to myself thinking, dude, if you only knew how many years you could have to spend.
I know. I'm very grateful for, I can't be in a job. I'm like somewhat psychologically unemployable. I mean, you know what that's like, but yeah. No, I fully get, man. I mean, I that's the painful to hear, you know, see people stuck in corporate for so long, that 80% of Americans who hate what they do. It's painful, man. So I get
it. Yeah, what do you tell your buddies, the ones, you got any buddies that are in the corporate slave camp? How do they talk to you? Do they really even ask what you do? Do they care what you do? Are they interested in becoming entrepreneurs? Or what kind of relationship you guys with people you have with guys, friends of yours that are in the job still?
Yeah, I mean, I've got, it's interesting because after, you know, being out of school for several years, they start asking questions once, you know, it kind of sits in. So, I mean, we talk. I don't think a lot of my friends that I was friends with maybe 5 years ago understand what I do. I don't think they get it. I think they know that I make money on the internet and do different things. But I mean, there's a few that have, you know, raised their hand and been like, hey, you know, how does this work, or what do you do exactly? But I mean, it's like anything. I think most people are just comfortable being comfortable. And I don't have a ton of my friends who, I mean, I have a select few that, you know, want more in their life, but, or I guess I should say original friends. I mean, I've got, you know, a lot of people I surround myself with now that, you know, that have things that they're going, but yeah, man, it's, I mean, you kind of get both.
Yeah. So let's say I found you online. I found your Rich and Awake podcast, which, by the way, you can check Gabe out on iTunes as well. His podcast is titled Rich and Awake, and it's a dynamite show. Gabe brings a really fresh perspective to it. I mean, you know, you can just get the sense of hearing him for the first 10 or 15 minutes on this show that this is somebody that you'd really want to resonate with. So, Gabe, I'm going to throw a hypothetical your way. You ready?
Okay. Hypothetical. Fire.
Okay. So I find your podcast, and I find you online, and let's just say I was able to get your phone number. I call you up, you answer, say, hey, Gabe speaking. I say, hey, Gabe, my name's Sam Crowley, and I need your help. I want to be rich, and I want to be awake. And right now, I get up in the morning, and I have a couple donuts and with my coffee and fire it back with about five sugars. And then I TiVo the Kardashians because I'm really interested. I'm a huge fan of reality TV when I'm not watching game shows. Okay. And then after I get back, I spend a lot of time at the water cooler talking to my buddies. I've really got some great friends. But when I come home from work, I come back and I fire back a couple of beers and sit on the couch and I watch my Kardashians reality shows. And then I go to bed. So what am I doing, Gabe, what do I need to do to be rich and awake? Because I really want to plug into what you're talking about.
Well, in a hypothetical, in this situation with this person, I would ask them if what's more important, being rich or being comfortable. Because it sounds like, and this is really this is the big problem with what separates the 99% of people from the 1% is the 99% of people aren't willing to do what it takes to create the success. So the guy that says he wants to create wealth or be rich, but he's filling his time and his actions are aligned with, watching TV and doing that stuff like this, he's not fully committed to it. So that person gets to make a choice as to what they really want and, get after it.
Yeah, and that obviously was a huge joke, but what the point is when Gabe and I were talking, we're talking about a month or so ago, and you were out at a leadership conference, and you were inspired, man. We talked on the phone, and we had I thought just something on the fly. We chatted. You were on your way to the airport, and I was on my way home from gym, and we chatted. It was a pretty powerful mastermind, and you were asking me questions like, hey, what would you do if you couldn't fail? You know, what do you want to accomplish this year? Are those the types of questions that you were asking yourself? Because it sounds like you went through a pretty big shift towards the end of last year, man, in a big way.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, it was probably this leadership event that I went through is probably the most impactful event that I've gone through. It's really just held my head to the fire of what I was creating in my life. And I became aware that I was responsible for everything in my life, the good, the bad, everything. And that I, had that power. So it's interesting that you bring that up because it's the past like 6 months have just been like a train ride of just things opening up. But yeah, it's been, I was able to kind of get out of my autopilotness essentially. And we all operate on autopilot, some more than others. And, I was even aware of this, which is interesting. I mean, I knew that I was operating on autopilot, but still consciously chose not to step up and do the things that I really wanted to do. There was some kind of fear or little things holding me back, stories that I had created that were holding me back. And as part of going through this experience and what you're experiencing, and when we connected after that, was just waking up to that and the awareness that I have the power to create everything. And everything's just a story. Everything that happens to me or has happened to me in my life and happens to you is just a story that we put on things or label things. And that opened up a lot of things for me.
Yeah, it sounded, man. I mean, you could just tell when someone goes through a shift. And I mean, you were already having success. Obviously, we talked about that. You were able to leave your job. And, think about that. Talk about that. When you finally left your job, what was going through your mind? Were you afraid? Were you skeptical? Were you excited? What were some of the – because a lot of people that plug into this show, that's a big terror barrier for them, man. They want to cross through it. And I know you did it. Like, you just said, I'm done. I'm done with the job. And now I know you're younger, and you and your wife haven't started a family yet. But you had a job, man. And so what was going through your mind? You still have bills to pay and everything. What was going through your mind?
Yeah, man. Well, listening to your show in the morning, I always joke about this, but I plugged into like little things in the day to cast that vision. But really, it was a 6-month process. I didn't quit my job initially. I made the decision that, okay, my time here is done. My income, I had over doubled my income and residual income doing affiliate marketing online. And so I had stability. My bills were, I was making more money online than I was in my day job. And so I waited, I waited till that point to pull the trigger, but essentially I made the decision. I said, I'm out of here. Within 6 months, I'm out of here. And it took me right around 6 months, like 6.5 months when I had that conversation and the opportunity presented itself to, transition out of some of the work projects that I was working on. So I just, Sam, it was one of the best experiences. I'm so glad that I had the job when I started the business because I was forced to highly leverage my time to an hour or two per day at night when I came home, because that's all the time that I had. So I had to be extremely, my time was extremely valuable, more valuable than it had ever been in my life. And I had to get laser targeted on those activities that would do that. And I would, squeeze a little bit of things into my lunch break and just, but I got after it. I cut out the TV and things, and I just, went after with everything. And it's those kind of experiences that, I've seen create success with any kind of online business.
So based – and, you know, we've talked about online business now for a good chunk of our interview here. I think people are always intrigued. You know, a lot of people say they do well online. A lot of people, you know, want to get the impression. You and I both know that there's some really kind of shady stuff going on with people versus what they say and where they are. But you're self-sufficient online. What do you attribute that to? Like, what were – you know, when you talk about learning – the internet's huge, and a lot of people feel like they're drinking out of a fire hose, Gabe. I mean, if somebody wanted right now to get going and to create an entity on the internet, what would you recommend? Would it be a landing page, an email, what you do with your podcast, YouTube channel, Facebook, Twitter? There's just so many avenues. Where would you tell someone to go to start at least beginning an online business?
Yeah, well, this is a big problem on the internet. This is one of the reasons I was inspired to create the Backwards Blueprint, actually, which is to help people get clear, a coaching process to help people get clear on what exactly they want. Because the first step is to decide what you want. I mean, do you want to make residual income? How much is that? Do you want to, you know, what's your end goal of what you want to create? And once you know that, and you're clear on that, you know, internet marketing is really simple. In the midst of everything, and even now, mobile's exploding, and there's always new things, it's direct response marketing, which isn't a way to look at it, of just building an audience, adding value, and giving irresistible offers. That blueprint has remained the same for, 20, 40, 50 plus years of salesmanship before the internet was in existence. So the internet, at the core, you're looking at a squeeze page, a landing page with a value. I've always done really well with webinar pages. Webinar pages, from what we've tested, convert higher on the front end than just general squeeze pages. But having some kind of an online event and, building an audience and adding value, that's always kind of been the winning formula.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, the more things change, the more they stay the same. You got to have that irresistible offer. You got to have the ability to market back to people. With the online community, the way it is, man, there's a lot of money. A lot of money made online, but there's a lot of people that get in and they just quit. What do you do? How do you stay in the game when you put up that landing page and nobody opts in? You put up that irresistible offer that isn't so irresistible at first and you can't sell anything. I mean, what's the mentality you keep to just stay in the game? Would you recommend people getting a job to ease the pain at first? Would you recommend what is it that the mindset, because it's all about the mindset, yeah. Especially with this show, people that plug into this show want to know, just give me hope, man. Let me know, just I'll stay in if you can tell me why I should stay in the game. What do you do when you coach people and help them out with that answer?
Yeah, good, man. Really good question. I mean, if you're at the point where you're starving and you can't pay your bills and you're eating your savings or you burnt your savings, then get a job. I mean, absolutely. Go work to learn. Don't work to earn, like Kiyosaki talks about and Rich Dad Poor Dad. But go work and be in the industry that you want to be in and learn something and get yourself in a better situation and then start your business. Don't wait, start your business at the same time. But there's a million ways to make money, right? You can offer consulting, you can put together projects. One of the things, one of the biggest lessons I've learned, Sam, in the, 7+ years we've been in online marketing is, when in doubt, just create a product and sell it. And what I mean is most 97% of entrepreneurs that fail because they spend all their time trying to get ready and build the system. And they don't even know if what they have is going to work on the marketplace. Now, granted, with affiliate marketing, you can kind of shortcut that a little bit. But when I'm talking about creating your own products, the best thing you can do is have a webinar, pre-sell your product or service, or make a video and set up a PayPal page and see who buys it. And when you have customers, a customer is 20 times more likely to purchase from you again, then you're kind of on to the beginning of a business. But if you're just starting off, absolutely. Get a job, get an income stream that can take your mind off the pressure so you can be creative and really thrive. And, then start looking for your sweet spot.
That's a great answer. You're right. I mean, work to learn, not to earn. And you're right, man. It takes a little bit of the pressure off and you haven't given up. It's not like you've thrown in the towel and you said, oh, I can't be an entrepreneur. It's just, Bob Proctor says it as well. Don't put so much pressure on yourself because then you can't think clearly. You just can't think clearly. Hey, as we're wrapping up the show, let's talk a little bit. Every Sunday I do a spiritual podcast and it's not where I'm quoting the Bible or going crazy, deep, deep into it. But I know you're a man of faith as well like I am. And I was just kind of curious how faith plays a part in what you do with your business. And does it have anything to do with your podcast, or is it kind of something that you keep close to yourself for now and maybe something you explore later?
Yeah, man, good question. My faith's been something I've been wrestling with since I was a kid, and I continue to wrestle with it. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, I've consistently sought and asked God questions of what is true and what's really going on here when we die. We're only on Earth for this short period of time, like a speck in sand in time, and then something else happens and we go somewhere. And there's all these different thoughts on it. But when I was at a young age, I grew up in the, my dad's a Lutheran pastor, so I grew up around it, and I always asked the question, like, what would I be if I grew up in Asia and I was Buddhist or Muslim or atheist or anything else? And I always, that really, really challenged me. So I kind of went on a quest to discover that. And when I was in college, I had the opportunity to have I had a DUI. I wrapped my car around a telephone pole at night after my fraternity party.
That's an opportunity.
It was really stupid, and it cost me everything that I had. It was like a $10,000 plus experience. Took my car, which at the time, that was the only thing. I mean, when you're a 19-year-old, man lives in Central Illinois. that's all you really care about. That's like everything, But that was the first experience. I had everything stripped away from me, and I found Christ, refound Christ in that moment. That it wasn't about what I did that caused salvation; that it was a gift. And I still wrestle with my faith, but it's a big part of my business. I mean, I feel a calling that so much in our world, business and religion or spirituality are kind of like no-nos, like religion and politics. So I've been definitely feeling more challenged recently to combine those. That's part of my intention with the podcast, being a faith-based podcast, is to explore that conversation with entrepreneurs and thought leaders and, find out what they think about faith and how that serves. But, I mean, hey, we're a mind, body, spirit. We're all three. We're not just, a mind and a body. And that's why we go to the gym and we listen to audios. But the spiritual is usually just kind of pigeonholed for Sundays, or if you don't go to church anymore because you're burnt out on religion, we don't get it at all. And that's a big part of who we are. So yeah, I'd say it plays a big part. Just being humble to where God leads the business,
Yeah, no, that's cool, dude. Because I know, like, we, when we're entrepreneurs, we have podcasts like this that are out in hundreds of countries and six continents around the world. You're gonna have listeners of every faith, every creed, and I think it's important to, wherever your spirit leads you, stay true to it. I mean, make sure that your moral compass is dialed in the right way. We're not doing this show to try to convert anybody to any particular religion, but be a good person. I think on the internet, if you're a good person, you're trustworthy, you're authentic, the money always follows, man. But I think faith, at least in our businesses, your business and my business, plays a big part, because it keeps us grounded. It lets us know that it's more than just putting on a headset and recording a podcast every day. I mean, yeah. God, I hope there's more to our lives than that, So,
yeah.
And hey, even Joel Osteen, probably the most successful online businessman in the faith, has a great podcast, millions and millions and millions of downloads. So there's a place for that as well online. Hey, Gabe, any closing thoughts relative to how people can, number one, get connected, get in touch with you, plug into you and your message? And number two, any closing thoughts about people right now who are, maybe we'll take it back to front, answer this question first. I'm on the fence. I'm trying to get going. I'm trying to get out of the rat race. I don't know which way to go on the internet. I see all of these great offers in my inbox. Tell me one thing when I wake up tomorrow, just one thing I should do in order to get myself moving with my own online entity.
Man, good question. It came to me right when you were talking. What I would recommend is less is more. Especially if you're starting off, you got to find one thing to focus on, and focus on one course until successful. Focus on one thing and get the result. And look back at don't look at it as a failure or a win. Say, I either got a result, I made money, or I didn't get a result, and then why didn't I? What was in the gap? And then you adjust from there. I would say if there is one thing to focus on when you're starting, is to build a list. Nothing happens, whether you're selling on the internet or you're selling in person, it's still people that you're selling to. Like a lot of internet marketers think of it like a list, like a number, and it's just people. You're just talking to people, through the internet, through a video or through a podcast or through an email. And when you think of it that way and you're authentically yourself, you'll stand out from the crowd, from all the other people in the industry or whatever your industry is that you're marketing in. And I would say to start focus on building your list. And what I would do as an action step, Sam, is I would make a list of the top 30 people that I saw in my industry, and I would make an intention to connect with them and interview them and position yourself as a thought leader in that space. And the insight you'll get from interviewing, which is if I'm just going to keep it real, it's one of the reasons I do the podcast, is to be able to connect with, inspiring people and build a more influential network and, expand that. But that, what you learn is you learn what works and what doesn't work. It's kind of a little shortcut that I've always, I mean, we did this a couple years ago, but I mean, that's, if I was going back to that situation, that's what I would do. I would keep less is more, focus on building an email list, and find an irresistible offer that matches your audience. And that's, you know, that's how you make money on the internet. But there's a lot of ways to do it, right? You could sell stuff on eBay and Amazon. You could sell information products. You could sell coaching. You could do local internet marketing. But you got to pick something, pick a strategy, and, you know, focus on it. And take away all the stuff, like get off the email list, unsubscribe. You know, don't go through all the programs, because that's, you know, I know from experience it just overwhelms you. And I think that's the biggest problem our industry has right now. So, yeah, they can connect, you know, tune into the podcast, Rich and Awake, download it on iTunes, or you can go to richandawake.com to plug into the show and, you know, stay connected with what we're doing. So appreciate you having me on, Sam. It's an honor, man.
Yeah. Hey, Gabe, it's my pleasure, man. Gabe's one of the good guys online. You want to plug into Gabe's show, Rich and Awake, find him on iTunes, download the show, and stay connected with what he teaches. It's authentic. It's real. It's not fluff or theory or anything like that. I wouldn't have anybody on the platform that was like that anyway. But Gabe and I go back a few years. We've always stayed in touch, and I got a lot of respect for what Gabe does online. He's a guy like me, man, brings his lunch pail to work every day and tries to put his best foot forward, creating good products and services for people on the internet, specifically helping people really identify which way to go online and how to harness the power of their passion. So, Gabe, on behalf of everybody inside the Everyday Saturday community, thank you for being on the show today, my friend. Great having you.
Yeah, appreciate it, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Take care. Hey, it's Sam Crowley. Hit me up on Twitter. Let me know what you like best about today's show. Hashtag every day is Saturday. Twitter handle is @SamCrowley. And if you want content, if you want to pick the topic for upcoming shows, make sure you include that as well on Twitter @SamCrowley. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter @SamCrowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.